If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And today we are covering a brand new housewives show, The Real Housewives of Rhode Island, Season 1, and this is Episodes 1 and 2. So, Brooke, yeah. I have a lot of feelings. I watched both the episodes today. What was your take on it all?
Well, it's exciting. It's been a long time since, I've had a Season 1, Episode 1 of Housewives.
Yes.
So it's exciting. It's, a fresh start. I have an open mind. And, is this just a reflection of our culture and how far we've come that, usually housewives, at least the season will start out, getting to know the people. It's going kind of slow. And, you're several episodes deep before anything controversial comes up.
Yes.
And then even then, it's always like, whisper, whisper. Did you hear this? Did you know that? And these women, it's just from the get-go, all this stuff is coming out and unabashed just discussion about it. And
yeah,
it's just, they're putting it all out there.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think I had a very strong reaction to this for a couple different reasons. The first one is I really had a hard time in 2020 watching Housewives. That's kind of where they lost me. And it was a lot of it was just about the world and where we were at in the world. And it was just hard to watch these shows while our world was burning. And there's a part of me today where I'm still struggling with that same feeling of, this is really hard to watch sometimes because of how women are portrayed. So I did what I normally do now when I'm like having pondering thoughts. I went on AI because Claude AI and I, we have a lot of chats about lots of different things. And I asked, I said, why is this bothering me so much? And this is what I got from AI. And I thought it was a good question, a good response, which is, let's see, here we go. This sort of celebration of women. I think what you might be sensing is the franchise's deep structural tension. It markets itself as celebrating powerful women, but often what it actually rewards is a very narrow performance of femininity. wealth display loyalty to social hierarchies and conflict as currency. The show was built around what a network producer called visually aspirational imagery, people jumping on boats and going to lunch. That aesthetic is doing ideological work. It defines a certain kind of woman as worth watching, worth admiring. And I just was asking, like, why does this hit me so hard today? And there's like, there's something particularly dissonant about watching women perform lavish social competition at a moment when a lot of people are anxious about economic precarity, mm-hmm. institutional trust, and gender-based harm in the news. The show isn't causing that feeling, but it can act as a kind of uncomfortable mirror. So I was like, thank you, AI, for explaining to me why I feel so weird about this all.
Yeah. And it used to be that reality TV was an escape from things. And that's what it felt like to me in the beginning. And then, something happened where it changed when all of a sudden it was like, this isn't fun anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on the show, different shows, I'm not saying that this is all Housewives. I'm just kind of saying in general with reality TV, but especially Housewives. And we are back. These women are very wealthy and live a very, particular kind of life. And it's even more, I'm trying to think what was the last, more opulent than a lot of other Real Housewives shows.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like a whole nother level. Yeah. And then you contrast that with, you know, what the economic things that are happening, the price of gas and food.
Oh God, I paid for, this poor guy came up to me at the gas station. I just paid for 5 gallons of gas for him so he can get back home to Fresno. I'm like, I don't know if he's scamming me, but it's just like, oh dear God, this guy seemed like he seemed like a nice guy. He didn't have any money for gas. It's so expensive. So whatever, I don't care. He seemed lovely. Yeah. But whatever. But I mean, so that's my day was like, you know, kind of like helping this person, seeing what the world is. And the other part of it is, and I don't come for me, anybody from the East Coast, but there is also something else, which is I've noticed that I tend to gravitate or watch the California housewife shows simply because I think the energy is very different. Mm-hmm. And there's a different kind of energy. It's a different kind of energy. It's very intense. It's very in your face. And it's just different. I can't explain it, but it is, you know, East Coast and West Coast are two different places and very different attitudes and just about how you interact with, like the way you talk, just dealing with all those, like if you were in that car with all those ants, can you imagine being in that car? Remember the 5 ants that come and visit? Alicia? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine all these people talking over each other and this, that energy and that is like when I go see Steve's family, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very different. Like we grew up very, you know, people weren't talking over each other like that. It wasn't that intense. Like our father would have banged his head. Dad would have gotten out of the car and ran. I mean, there's no way he could have made it through that car ride.
Yeah, it is.
It is very different.
It is a different energy. And I was really taken aback by the accents because I don't think I realized there was a Rhode Island accent, which
There is.
To me, sounds like a combination of a Boston accent and a New Jersey accent.
Yes.
Or maybe Long Island. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that's funny about it is New England is, it's a much more conservative place in some ways. But yeah, there's also, there's other parts of it that, so that's the thing about Rhode Island is that, yes, it is part of New England and it's got that new, you know, Brown University, like it's got that New England feel to it. But at the same time, Rhode Island's always been known for, you know, there's been quite a few scandals about political corruption and, you know, so on. So it is a different, you know, kind of place. This is the last thing I'll say about it. But one of the other things that really irritates me about these housewife shows is just the whole trope of these women saying dumb shit. And then that becomes a joke. Like, oh, do you guys have beaches in New Jersey? That was a question that someone asked. Mm-hmm. Do you have a beach in New Jersey? And then, you know, what was the other one that was real dumb? Something about not understanding what the 4th of July meant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that really got me. Who was it? We'll get to it. But yeah,
I think that was that one girl who, Jo Ellen, who I have a lot of, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about Jo Ellen.
I kind of like her.
I know there's parts about her I kind of like.
Oh, I thought it was the, I thought it was Rosie that
maybe.
Well, what is the 4th of July about?
I feel like, was it Kelsey? Yes. I think, but it was Kelsey that talked about beaches in New Jersey. That much I got. I thought it was Jo Ellen, but it could be someone else.
Maybe it was. It could have been it, yeah.
But that's the other one too, which is, and this has always been the argument about Housewives, is if this is a show for women, you know, featuring women, for other women, why do you keep making us, you know, why do you keep sort of, why do you have to air that? You could cut it out.
Yeah. And you know what I mean? I mean, and I don't know if the show was ever supposed to be, you know, well, what I remember in the beginning is that it was supposed to be aspirational, which is kind of funny to think about because we just watched the first episode of Orange County.
Yes.
We rewatched that and it wasn't exactly aspirational. I mean, to a degree, but, you know, as time went on, they added like Beverly Hills and New York, and you started getting people with, you know, really a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And but then it would go in a different direction and people are like, well, I don't want to see this. You know, I don't want to see people who are kind of sort of maybe in my same, you know, income bracket. We want to get back to the aspirational. And this is definitely aspirational. I mean, but you know, like the Ashley, this is not her money. She's just some rich man's
Kelsey.
Not Ashley, Kelsey.
Yeah.
She's some rich man's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Year.
No, that's, yeah.
So yes. It's not her money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of these people genuinely, you know, made their own money. And I think that is, I'm impressed with any person, especially a woman who can, you know, be a successful, entrepreneur, whatever.
I know. So, where did I go wrong in my life? I just kind of feel like, okay, so you just started a weed business and now it's huge. It's like, and then you have this business and this is huge. It's like,
that's the thing. You got to get with the masses. The masses are not calling out for therapy. You know, I mean, the people who, obviously you're in a circle of people, but most of the world doesn't go to therapy.
No, I know. It's not so much
weed.
Oh, I know. No. And it's not that. I'm not saying that, like, I don't understand why I don't have this booming therapy business. It's more of like, why didn't I? I'm a smart person. Right. Like, why didn't anything that I ever put together ever make any money like this? Right. Do you know what I mean? And again, I blame our parents. But
well, yeah, because they said you have to be a professional. They never said, you know what? If you start a janitorial business, you know, you'll make a ton of money, which is true.
Yes.
But that was not an option. It was like, you have to be a professional. You have to get a graduate degree to do this and that. And it's like, well, it's not bad advice, but
it was
exactly like the road to riches.
I was going
to
say, it didn't age well. It didn't age as well as our parents thought it would age. But yeah, you're absolutely right. We were, and also I felt like what I did had to have some cachet to it. Like, I don't know how, like there was a lot of judgment of, oh, you have a janitorial business. Like there was, even though you're running a business, it still felt like I couldn't do that. I couldn't say, but it wasn't even something I even thought about. They didn't even explain investing to us. Dear God.
Ironically.
It's crazy that we even have 5 cents to rub together. But anyway, I digress, or I should have married wealthy. I don't know. One of the two things. But I digress. But that's the other part of it too, is when I watch these shows, I always go back and forth of like, would I want to trade lives? And I'm always kind of like, no, this does not sound, none of this seems pleasant to me.
It like, doesn't seem healthy, feels fun. Especially this group. I mean, they came out of the gate. We're finding out pretty much everybody has had an affair.
Yes.
Every relationship, people have had affairs. And I mean, this is episode 1 and 2. I mean, like I said, previous Housewives, this would take seasons and seasons to come out. You know, we didn't get the dirt until we were like deep into these people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, but no, these people have no qualms at all about talking about it. And
yeah,
That was a little bit, you know, you're kind of taken aback by that.
Well, and also Kelsey, you know, we don't see any pictures of her boyfriend, but it took me 2 seconds to figure out who he was. I looked him up. I know what he looks like. It's a little bit like, I'm kind of surprised he's letting her on the show.
Is he older? Like a lot older?
So he's older, but his name is John Caprio, and he is the son of Judge Frank Caprio, who passed away last year. And I was like, so where is all this money coming from?
Yeah, because judges don't make millions.
So I'm like, again, I don't know, but corruption? Do you know what I mean? Like, how? Because I was like looking through everything. He was born, his parents were immigrants. Frank's parents were immigrants from Italy. His father started from the ground up. Frank went to law school. And I'm like, so tell me about the business he started, or the winning the lottery, or marrying into millions. Like, there is no. And so,
Where did it come from?
Yeah. He was a judge, which no way you can have two full staffs in two different places from a judge's salary.
Absolutely not.
So, so again, there's this question mark, right? Of, what's this all about?
Wow. Okay. Well, let's get into it. So the first person who we meet is Alicia. And I like her. She's from Cranston. That's another thing we find out. There's, you know, people kind of look down, well, she's from this place or she's from that place. There's a lot of that. I have yet to sort of figure out which are the good areas or whatnot.
No one likes Cranston except for Alicia's family. They hate the fact that she's in Providence and not in Cranston. I'm like 15. Yeah. And they're all complaining about this 15-minute drive.
Yeah. She's the one with the six aunts who are all kvetching with each other in the car. And so she has this fiance. They've been engaged for 9 years since her daughter was 7 months old. So there's some backstory there. And he owns restaurants. And I'm assuming that, you know, she stays home with her daughter. Didn't sound like she had a job or career at the moment.
No, she hasn't mentioned anything.
No. So she has a cute little daughter who's probably like 10 or...
Selena.
Well, no, I guess if she's been engaged for 9 years.
She's about nine. Selena is her mini-me, apparently.
Yeah. So then I don't really have anything about her. Yeah. We're just still kind of doing these introductions. And then we meet Liz, who's also from Cranston. And she is good friends with Dolores Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey. And Dolores is a friend of...
Yes.
So she's helping out the new franchise here. And Liz and Dolores look like sisters.
Yes. But because they have the same plastic surgeon and dentist, as we soon learn. And that's the other one, too, is a lot of these women all look alike. That's the other part of it, too. There's an aesthetic. There's a look. And so that's the other part of it is just in these, it just feels a little bit like we all want to look alike, or we all, you know, that whole vibe.
Yeah. Well, when you see pictures of Liz from, you know, pre-plastic surgery, she's unrecognizable. I'm like, who is that? Mm. And it almost seems like she said, give me Dolores.
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, I have to say, of everyone, I kind of like Liz the most.
Yeah. I like her too.
And I'm pretty sure she pops a gummy every 4 to 5 hours. I'm pretty sure that, like, I don't think she's super high, but just a little high all day long, because there's a few words that are slurred. There's a few things. I think it's kind of, you know, but she's got this husband, Jerry, and they have, so he had 3 daughters from a previous marriage. So, and it sounds like she kind of comes out, she raised the 3 girls.
Because something happened with their mother.
Yeah.
They got taken away from the mother and she raised these girls. We meet them in the next episode.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They own a cannabis dispensary.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying she's the queen of weed.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yes. So that's, again, I'm like, everyone that I know, these cannabis dispensaries, they're hard to, you know, they're not as lucrative as people think they are. That's just what I always hear. Well, there's so many. There's so many regulations. And for a long time, they couldn't. I mean, I think now there's so many, but everyone who's got a successful business had to deal with like everything being in cash. They used to have to, used to have to hire bodyguards.
Oh, they did. They have armed security guards outside. Yeah.
To just walk to the bank with all of this cash. It's, I don't know. Again,
walk to the bank? You think they walked it to the
bank? No, I'm sorry. Drive to the bank. But they needed all this. They needed all the security because it was all cash and they were getting jacked and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, but that's why I'm saying I think she's just a little high all day long. Yeah, and that's why I like her.
I agree.
And she walks her cat. Did you catch it?
Yes.
She walked her cat down the... And that's the other thing about these first episodes is there is a certain level of discomfort, right? Because everybody, you get the vibe that everybody's like, there's a camera on me. There's a camera in our house. There's a camera in our house.
Yeah, they're not used to it.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So next is Kelsey, who is one of the younger ones. She's 30.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she's a lady of leisure.
Yes.
She's been a lady of leisure for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Her boyfriend is older. This one, the one we were just talking about. He comes from a prominent family, but he will not be shown on TV.
Yes.
And he's gone 5 months out of the year. He dates multiple people in Miami. I couldn't tell if it was just one person in Miami he was exclusive with or multiple people. I don't know. Anyway, she only has him 5 months out of the year.
Is she only 5 months or is he away for 5 months?
Well, same thing.
No, because then it's 7 months. Are they together for 7 months out of the year?
All right. I just wrote down 5 months. But then later, I think she said six. I don't think she knows. He comes back when he's ready.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't, because we learn very quickly that she does not have any control in any of this. No. And this is a great example. She has a staff. What did she say? 4 kitchens, 79 TVs. All well and good, but you know, that's great that you have a staff, but she's in this weird predicament now. Yeah, she's alone and she wants to have children and get married, and this guy's like, no. So you in some ways it's like, yeah, you really shot yourself in the foot because you're gonna have to take a huge step down. You either choose to have the life that you want and take a huge step down, or you live his life.
And you know that when I think about it, that house, I mean, it looks like a gangster's house. I mean, it's just, it's a lot. And and she's there all by herself with this full-time cook and
housekeeper.
Who, and then I guess she was Miss Rhode Island.
Yes. Yes.
And she said something about how she never would have been Miss Rhode Island if it weren't for this guy.
And I'm like, did you fix the contest? I'm like,
judges off.
Did you? I think she was trying to say like he gave me the confidence to do it, but the way it was said, it was just like, like how? That's interesting. Anyway,
yeah, I don't envy her. I don't think that. I mean, what fun is it to just be in that big house all by yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. So then I wrote down Wakefield. Is this the name of a town? We have Joellen.
Yeah. Is that where she lives?
From Wakefield. And I like Joellen for some reason. I know she's kind of set up to be the villain.
She's a little controversial. I mean, sometimes I like her. Sometimes I don't really like her. But yeah, she's got 3 kids and it's like 10, 3, and 1. Oh my God, that's something. And she admits that I guess she knew Gary from high school, and Gary apparently was kind of dated her older sister Jen, but then Joellen came in to steal him away.
Yeah, something. Yeah, it was her sister's boyfriend.
Yeah,
first or something. And so, she's got this thing where she doesn't think that her mom loves her.
Yes. Yes.
She says it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I guess we'll get into that. I saw a scene from the season where at some point she confronts her mother about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she's in aesthetic sales.
Yeah. I didn't quite understand. What was that?
It's like in, you know, facial injections.
And oh, that's right. And she shows people how to use them. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Got it. And these are the people that have been rumored to be swingers. Correct?
Well, in the second episode, she denies that they're swingers, but she said that I think she walked it back a little bit because the first episode, I thought she said they like to have threesomes.
Yes. And, or they had a threesome.
Yeah. And then the second episode, she said they had a threesome once.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But everybody in this group seems very open, you know, sexually.
Yes.
So,
and then there's Rosie.
Rosie. She kind of annoys me. She's the newscaster.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband is, Rich is her husband. He's a Frank Sinatra singer and a house flipper.
Yeah, he's got a lot of different, again, lots of different, he's an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of his hand in a lot of different things. But she met him when she was a news, like the weather girl on a mm-hmm. channel. He was the producer and she was an intern. I'm like, let's skate right by that one. Okay. Yeah, but now she does this lifestyle show that airs on the weekends.
Yeah, and Alicia comes over to do this weird, like, shoe workout. It's like these shoes that have, they're bouncy. I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know. They're hot pink, and they're just doing this weird shoe workout. I don't know. It was very odd.
Yes.
She does this lifestyle segment, I guess, on her channel. Mm-hmm. Called Road Tripping, RHODE. And were they talking about Joellen kind of bagging on Joellen a little bit? I wrote down Joellen, Queen Bee.
Yeah. Well, so Rosie was kind of introduced because Rosie's having some brand collaboration with a picnic, mm-hmm. you know, some kind of picnic something. And so she throws this picnic for, I guess it's Joellen, Alicia, Rosie, and we meet Ashley. And Ashley mm-hmm. is the former Bachelor contestant, right? She was on The Bachelor and then met her husband on Bachelor in Paradise. I didn't watch the show.
So she was, okay, just a little background on Ashley. Okay. She's the only one not from Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
She's originally from Virginia, but I think she was living in California. You know, she used to be Jenny McCarthy's nanny.
Oh, okay.
She didn't say this on the show. I just remember mm-hmm. it from something else. But anyway, she was on season 19 of The Bachelor, and The Bachelor was Chris Soules. He was a farmer. Mm. I didn't watch the season, but I remember when they were talking about that he was a farmer. But anyway, another part of the storyline, and this comes up later, the storyline on The Bachelor was that she was a virgin.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Storyline. Yeah.
And so then her husband, Jared, he was on Caitlin's season of The Bachelorette. And then they met on Bachelor in Paradise for the ex contestants all mm-hmm. go and hook up and whatever. But they actually got married. So.
He's from Rhode Island.
Yeah, that's the only reason why they're there. Because he's from there. He wanted to move back there.
And I guess I didn't realize. So they opened this coffee shop slash lounge.
Cafe
slash lounge called Audrey's. Mm-hmm. And I guess, so they're both influencers and they make lots of money from being influencers. So I think Audrey's is kind of like a pet project for him. And so this seems to be, and I think this is going to be a running theme in their relationship, which is, it sounds like she wants him to give up Audrey's or give up, you know, we're not making any money from this and this takes mm-hmm. all of your time and energy. And he doesn't seem to want to do that. And I don't blame him. I get the sense with him that it's almost like, he's like, yeah, I know I make a lot of money as an influencer, but I don't want that to be my life. Like, it's almost like he doesn't want to attach himself to it.
But I think it's the opposite. I think, so they were saying that, okay, so I looked this up. So, because she said we're both influencers, but she has a lot more followers than he does, and mm-hmm. she's more lucrative, more successful at it. So I think he's trying to bring in some more money, and it's kind mm-hmm. of a, you know, it's a pride thing. And so I looked it up. So he has 652,000 followers on Instagram, and she has 1.2 million.
Mm, okay.
And so he's trying to, he's really trying to make this thing work. And he says that the Audrey's is the second rated celebrity restaurant in the United States.
Yes.
Next to Jon Bon Jovi's restaurant.
Apparently so. And how many are there of these celebrity owned restaurants? I mean, how big of a category is this?
I don't know. But also, It's a cafe where you get lattes. It's not a restaurant. I mean,
lounge. But well, I think they have food.
What do they do in the lounge? Is there entertainment?
I thought it was the most bizarre place. I didn't know anything that was going on. All I saw was he was making coffees.
Yeah. And why is he work? I'm sure he doesn't work behind the counter. He was just shooting this scene. But yeah, like he's there all day, every day, toiling away at the espresso machine. I mean,
I don't think he's doing that, but I bet you anything it takes. I bet you he's there most of the day. And I think that he probably has an office there. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he had an office and that he would kind of be like, okay, I'm going to work. And then he goes and he's there at the office and maybe doing his other influencer stuff. But yeah, he needs a place to go. He wants a place to go every day.
Exactly.
So, but he is a cutie. I have to say that much. Jared.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And I like Ashley so far.
I mean, I like her. I think she's, I can see how she's got a big person, you know, she might rub a few people the wrong way, but I like
compared
her.
To these other women. Yeah. She's like shy.
Yes.
She's just do. Okay. Yes. So, Joellen is the one, wasn't it her party? Who threw the 4th of July party?
Joellen threw the 4th of July party. But what started all this was Joellen. So we start by learning that Joellen and Rosie don't particularly like each other. And it's what's hilarious about it is they're both complaining about the exact same thing that they don't like about the other person is exactly the same thing. It's like, they're both like, she talks shit. She's always, you know, talking about stuff and blah, blah. It's like, you both are. Guess what? You both are. So, I mean, this is kind of like the dumbest. It seems like a very silly argument about this, but Rosie came to Joellen's house and apparently only brought a $6 bottle of wine.
Oh, heavens.
A cheap bottle of wine. And that's what upset everyone. I guess Joellen had something to say about it. So, anyhow.
Yeah. Well, and Joellen, ironically, she's the one who didn't know what the 4th of July was about.
Yes.
And she's the one who's throwing this party.
Exactly.
So
she thinks it's got something to do with the Nina Pinta Santa Maria and maybe Portsmouth. Not Portsmouth. Sorry. That's where they rented the house. Plymouth.
Yes. Plymouth Rock.
Psych Legal Pop will be back after these messages. Yeah, the other thing is you guys are out there right there with history. We're out in the middle, like, and we know this stuff more than you do. Come on.
Plymouth is in Massachusetts.
I know. Steve went every year.
What are you talking about?
But that, like, all those kids, I bet you went to Plymouth every single year. That's what Steve said.
Yeah, how can you not know? I mean, this is the birthplace of our country, is right? It's like, on the eastern seaboard there. How could you not know that?
Yes.
Anyway.
So we see the scene where we meet Joellen's mom. And so this is the only thing. So her big complaint with mom is mom's not very maternal. It sounds like Joellen felt like mom was really hard on her growing up. And all I could think was that may be true, but all I could think is, Joellen, you're really hard on other people. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit like, yeah, that's true, but you are walking around here thinking that somehow, and maybe she's much more conscious with it with her kids, but I'm like, you're not nice to other people because you're pretty tough on people.
Yeah. She's very tough on people.
So
anyway. Yeah. Project much.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And here your mom, you're not too mad at her for her to babysit your
Yeah. You're not so kids. Worried about your kids.
Right. She's fine for that, I guess.
Yeah. 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 So,
she rents this house on the water in Portsmouth, and it's not, you know, the 4th of July needs to be traditional. You need to have regular hot dogs, not caviar wieners.
Yeah.
They had a cannoli station.
Well, the caricatures, I mean, she's like, I know how to throw a fabulous party. I'm like, what? Like this, you are throwing, like, this is a day at Atlantic City. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is walking down the boardwalk. This is a classy party. It's just like, great. Someone's going to draw crazy pictures. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And then this is where Dolores shows up.
Yes.
She's got a summer rental. She's committed to it. She's there for the season.
Oh, yes.
And she and Liz get a caricature portrait, not a drawing together. And it looks like they look exactly the same.
Yeah.
they just drew the same person.
Exactly.
They're exactly. Like, oh, twins.
Exactly, exactly. But then this is the part where I felt like things started to get a little sticky, because Joellen goes right up. Is this where she goes right up to Kelsey and tells Kelsey, like, hey, you know, Rosie was asking me all these questions about your relationship, and Rosie thought it was polygamy, but it's not. You know, she was asking all these questions, and you know, she sort of presents herself as someone who was like the bigger person, or, you know, and then I stopped it. And I'm like, yes and no. Yes, were Rosie's questions probably a little much? Yeah, but this is the nature of the show. And this is also how women's relationships are. I'm sorry, but anybody else in that position would have asked those same questions. Like, oh, what's going on? She's half here, half there. I mean, I'm sorry. She's it's an interesting story.
Yeah. She's just curious. Yeah. Joellen, I mean, did she even use the word polygamy?
No. Or? Well, Rosie did incorrectly.
Okay.
Yeah. And then she figured out it was polyamory, but it's not even really that. It's just this guy, he's got lots of girlfriends.
Yeah. Because I guess he can. He's got the money.
And he controls everything.
There was something about working at a tanning salon. And was it Kelsey who worked at the tanning salon?
No, I think it was Joellen worked at the tanning salon.
Okay. So Kelsey's trying to rat her out and say that she slept with the owner's wife, the owner and his wife at the tanning salon. Now, this is where this swinging thing comes in.
Yeah. Okay.
So but then she denies that later. But
yes.
Anyway.
So we shall see.
Lots of rumors. I feel like that's going to come back at some point.
Oh, yeah. This tanning later, salon.
This wife is a tanning salon owner's going to show up.
Can you imagine? I'm like, so tan.
Do you think they still have like open tanning salons in Rhode Island?
It's possible.
It's illegal in California.
Like, oh, it is? Yeah. I didn't know it was illegal here.
Well, it's, I don't know if it's totally banned, but there used to be tons of tanning salons. You cannot find a tanning salon here anymore.
Well, there were a lot more down in Southern California than up here. But yeah, we had, even in Berkeley, California, there was a few places.
Yeah, near my house. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I love the little tanning time in a tanning bed. It feels good. But yeah, they took all, just taking all the fun out of life. We can't do that anymore.
Well, you heard smoking's back. So maybe tanning will be back too.
Yes. Bring back tanning, please, while you're at it. Because times are too hard to be pale and stressed out.
Yes, exactly. We need anything that we can get. And that's pretty much the first episode, right? That was the end of the party. There was nothing else with the party that I thought was that interesting.
No.
Poor Rosie spent a lot of time and energy putting together a new gift for Joellen, and even that wasn't enough for her. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Rosie's like, I just want everyone to like me. I'm like, Rosie, let it go.
Yeah, stop trying so hard.
Joellen wants to hate you. She just wants to hate you. You could have given her a diamond bracelet. She wants to hate you.
Yeah. She doesn't like you.
Yeah.
And I wrote down this quote from Kelsey at the very end. She says, rumors are a part of the culture of our state.
It's the fabric of our state.
It's part of our motto. Our traditions.
Yes. Yes.
Rumors. Okay.
So episode 2 starts with Liz and Jerry. They're going to his parents' house. So it sounds like Liz, she said that she lost her mom when she was 15 and she lost her dad right before she got married. Mm. And they're going there because, is it Brianna?
Mm-hmm.
Is one of their daughters. And they just learned that she's pregnant with a baby with her boyfriend, Zach. And they're there to meet Zach's parents.
Yes. And they'd only known each other a couple months when she got pregnant. So it's a surprise to everybody.
Yes. Yes. So,
but everyone seems excited.
Yeah. And then we get into a little bit of like how she raised the three girls and they were living with her full time and the adjustment to that. And that she never had any biological children herself. But my guess would be is like, she was too damn busy to have biological children. I mean, yeah, that situation. Yeah. It makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you, I like Liz. I think she's, I mean, she's
so
got
far,
some,
so good.
Yeah, no, she's got some moments here, but I think, you know, I like her.
Well, I thought this, okay, next we have Joellen and Ashley have a play date.
Yes.
With their kids, because they both have young kids around the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley just cried the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about how Jared is so unhappy and she's really unhappy. Nobody's happy because he's working so much and he feels like he's just kind of a failure at everything and he's not there for the kids. And, you know, she's having to take care of the kids. I started really feeling badly for her. Then she says she has a nanny 33 hours a week.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, how do they, one kid or two kids?
I think it was two.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Joellen does say this to her, which is you're in the thick of it. And I'm with Joellen. I think I've said this many times. Those early years with the kids, those are rough years. Those are rough. Those are the presidential years. Those are the years that like make your hair turn white. So I think the two of them are in this tough spot. But I was really wondering, like, is this Ashley's projection or is this really happening? What I'm wondering is if, is Jared just like, hey, I'm just like, I think Jared probably maybe is a little more introverted and doesn't want to talk to her about his feelings all the time. I guess I was also wondering, like, is that, is he really dark and moody or is it just like she's always up in his grill wanting to know and he's just trying to say, listen, sometimes I'm quiet.
I thought that she said he told her that he was feeling bad about himself because he's not there for his kids because he's always working.
Okay.
And yeah, he feels like he has to work, you know, to provide for the family and to make this business successful. But that takes time away from her and the kids. And, you know, I mean, these are struggles everybody has.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing really unique about it. It's just that they're going through it. And there's a lot of pressure on them because when you're an influencer, that's your job. It's like, you have to project this great life. And someone, I forget which, maybe it was Joellen, made a comment about how, wow, you know, when you look at Ashley's Instagram, everything is just happy, cute little family. And then here she is at the playground crying because this is not, everything's not great. It isn't ever for anyone. I mean, it's not great all the time. And so, yeah, there's a lot of pressure for them to be successful and happy. And I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it could be. I don't know. I also, she's not from Rhode Island. I also think that was another thing too, was that it sounds like she was desperate for friends. Like, I feel like she took the show more to make friends than the money. I think she was like, I've been here 4 years. Yeah. And she's not from there. And she's absolutely right. It's very hard to make friends in your 30s. Like everything she's saying is very right on. So that I wonder if she's just feeling lonely. She's just feeling very alone. So anyway, but we meet someone new who I guess is a friend of this Ruella.
Rula?
Is it Rula?
Yeah, it's
Rula.
Rula.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't pay attention if she's in the.
They haven't done the lines or taglines.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they haven't done any of that.
Not really sure. But so she's Liz's friend, and they have this connection because they're both Syrian. And they're both part of the boating community.
Yes.
And yeah, we learn a lot. So Rula does not like Joellen.
No.
And I guess we might as well say now why it is because Rula's husband had an affair and Liz said something about, is Rula's husband Brian?
Yeah, Rula's husband Brian had an affair. So he had an affair, according to Rula, it was a year ago and it's over now. That what happened with Joellen was that apparently Joellen's the one that sort of showed everyone the picture. But it wasn't.
He posted a picture of himself. And his mistress.
The woman, the mistress.
Sorry.
The mistress,
the woman posted
something, or someone that knew them.
On Facebook or Instagram or something. And someone pointed it out to Joellen. Joellen then shared the picture.
Yes. So she didn't originate it. She didn't. Yeah. And I felt like that was not fair because she didn't. Joellen didn't have the affair. She didn't originate any of this stuff. Like she truly, she was just being messy. She was just showing everyone like, did you see this?
Well, actually, she showed it to Liz.
Yes.
Knowing Liz and Rula are good friends and Liz was going to tell Rula. So she didn't even do it directly. She did it indirectly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But maybe it's a little shadier. But I mean, if they're not friends.
Knowing good and well that Liz is going to tell.
Yeah.
She's going to show Rula. But what they then did to her after that, Rula and Brian, her husband, then started calling Joellen's job and were complaining about her, trying to get her fired. I don't know what they said. I mean, obviously they didn't say, hey, your employee told my husband or told me that my husband was having an affair. I don't know what story they used or what they were complaining about.
Can I just tell you, we hear these stories all the time. Well, I hear this all the time. I've never had anyone who's ever called me up from a job, or I've never been at a job where someone has been like, some rando has called up and said, let me tell you about your CEO. Or let me tell you, I mean, where are these places? Like, who's picking up the phone and listening to this?
If they did that, that is like messed up. It's just
what I think happened was this, and I think it's somewhere in between all of this. It's still messed up. I'm with you. I think Rula knew because listen, we've learned Rhode Island's very small.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Rula knew some of her clients, and I think she called them, the ones that she knew, and said, hey, do you work with this Joellen? And then that person was like, went back to Joellen. So I don't think they were cold calling anyone, but I think that they were, and I think they probably used the excuse of, this is my friend. I was just talking to him, but it seemed very pointed. That's all. That's my theory.
Yeah, that makes more sense than just what calling up. Can I speak to HR? I need to tell you about what this employee is doing. That didn't make sense to me, but
yes.
Yeah. So,
but then Rula in this, and then once we're off of that, like, she's like, no, it's over. It's over. The affair was last summer. It's over. So she's pushing it away. And then she kind of indicates a little bit like that Liz and Jerry both sleep around, that they somehow have other partners. And
well, she said that Liz cheated on Jerry.
Yes, with this guy that's a family friend. Yeah. Oh, no. Sorry. That's later on. I don't know if it's the same guy they're indicating, because Alicia also makes a comment to her about it.
Yeah. And then Rula also made a comment saying that Liz didn't have any children, which really upset her, rightfully so.
Yeah.
She raised these girls. Yeah, Rula, she's a bad friend.
Yeah, no, and I don't trust
like a bad
Rula.
Person.
Yeah. I don't trust Rula at all.
I don't know why Liz is still friends with her. After that,
yeah, I don't know. And then is this where Kelsey and Alicia have drinks? So this is Kelsey. We see Kelsey at her house, this giant house. And then Alicia. So apparently Alicia's like Rhode Island personified, I guess. She seems, she's grew up there. And then we learn about her driving. And at one point, Alicia ran over a woman.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, the producer's like, wait, what? And she's like, yeah, I ran over a woman. It's like, wait, can you tell us a little bit more? Is she alive? Is she, what is happening?
Yeah. And she says she's afraid to drive, which makes sense. And, she doesn't like going over bridges. She's got all these fears about driving. It's like, well, maybe you just shouldn't be driving, it sounds like.
Yeah. Or maybe there's something else going on, Alicia,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, apparently Alicia is not a great driver. And then this is where we learn a little bit about Rula, wrote her name down wrong. But because she lives in Lincoln, Rhode Island, she would
Is that superior to something?
Well, she says it is. Yeah. The upscale neighborhood of Lincoln, Rhode Island.
Mm.
And she would never live in Cranston.
Ugh, Cranston.
Oh my God.
Is Cranston like the Long Island of Rhode Island?
I don't know. Again, not the state is really Island, small. But, yeah, it's like, you guys, you know, for a small state and all this pride, you guys really like to point fingers at everybody yeah. else not being as good as you, right? Because yeah. they're from this town or that town.
It really is a teeny tiny state. I looked it up on the map and they said, but there's like 1.1 million people who live there. So it's pretty densely populated mm-hmm. for the size of it, you know. It's,
yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is all one big neighborhood. The fact that they're making so many distinctions
yes.
about you're from here, that's a block away from here. You know, it's like Lincoln.
Or it's the same zip code. Hello.
Exactly. Same zip code. There's probably only one zip code in Rhode Island, maybe two. And you're being so snobby, like,
yeah,
you know, Cranston. Jeez.
But yeah, she owns a boat. She's a female captain. And then she talks about running her own financial firm and because she's a boss bitch. And it's like, so again, it's like, I feel like there's something like, do you, that's what I want to know. Like, I don't know if you are, like, you could have one client and you're running a financial firm.
Yeah.
I again, I'm always very suspect of any job, like anything where it's like, well, show me. I need to see it.
We need to look into that for the next episode before we come back. I'm going to look, see if she has a LinkedIn or something.
Yeah. So, but what comes out is, so Brian's a podiatrist. This is her husband. Mm-hmm. And they've been married for 9 years. And so having a conversation with Claude, I saw that apparently Brian was arrested in October of 2015 for putting a tracker on her car.
Ooh.
And in the state of Rhode Island, putting a tracker on your car is a misdemeanor domestic violence offense. And so apparently, like, I don't know exactly what she dropped the charges, but this is obviously, you know, married 9 years. So you're dating, like while you're dating, he puts a tracker on your car.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been going on. And, you know, again, anybody who, if you meet someone who, man, woman, who's super, super jealous, be wary. Because jealous people are cheating because they're mm-hmm. cheating and they
think you are too.
Yeah. People that are honest and tell the truth aren't at all thinking about any of this. Mm. So it's a little bit like, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she's like talking about how, you know, she's Syrian and, you know, he's
Italian.
She didn't say white, but she said he's lighter skin. I mean, he's Italian. He's, yes. I expected to see this like a super, super white guy. No, he's Italian. I love how he's on the phone, or he's not on the phone. He's like dictating notes.
Yes.
But, well, so-and-so came in, they had an ingrown toenail and now it seems to be healing. And
yeah,
it's like, whoa, what an exciting, the life of a podiatrist.
Yeah. The cutting edge excitement of an ingrown toenail.
Ingrown toenails. Wow.
And this is also something that all of these shows say, and it makes me crazy. And I wish the producers would just edit it out, which is, you know, Syrians, we're full of love and Italians are full of love and we're like, our culture is very connected. We believe in each other. It's like, guess what?
So do white people.
So everybody thinks, everyone perceives their culture and the food and what, that it's full of love and that it's this and it's that. It's like, you know, I mean, and that's another thing that bugs me. It's almost like the superior, like, okay, you want, anyway, it's just, I just find it irritating.
I know what you mean because, every family, no matter where you're from, you know, if you're not totally dysfunctional, loves each other and has traditions. And, you know, we all have different, we all came from somewhere. We all have some kind of, traditions and celebrations and whatever. Yeah, it's like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
You're right. They do that a lot.
God, it drives me nuts. When we cook from a place of love. It's like, nobody from a place of hatred. I cook with hate. Just hate.
I'm going to sprinkle some hate in your pasta.
All right.
Oh, God.
So, and then the last scene is they rent a party bus, which you have to go to a winery. And I guess the big thing is Kelsey invited Rula, who doesn't like Joellen, and Joellen doesn't like her. But then Rula calls in and says she's sick.
She calls in sick.
Yeah. And everyone's like, you know, again, everyone's like, no, she's not. She's not sick. She has a full face of makeup and blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, she could still be sick. Makeup could be from yesterday.
Yeah. And somebody said, okay, someone said, oh, I think Joellen said this, that because Joellen just hates Rula. She's glad she's not coming.
Yeah.
She says she's not sick. She gets headaches from too much Ozempic. She's like, have a protein bar.
Yeah. The other thing is I love how they're all GPL-1 shaming each other. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, did someone else say that too?
Well, it's not so much that, but one person's like, oh, I think Rosie said, oh yeah, for this segment, I had to starve myself all day so I could eat. Cause I took a Ozempic shot or shot 2 days ago. And I think this is also interesting about what's happening, which is, yeah, this is part of it. Like GLPs and all of this is now another part of what it takes to be a housewife and what the expectation is. And then something else they can get on you about.
Right. Oh, God.
So, but this is where we learn that Kelsey is actually dating someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Kelsey, what I love is, well, I don't understand why all these people are talking about me, you know, just come to me directly. And it's like, no, you know, if someone doesn't know you very well, what are they supposed to do? Ring your doorbell and be like, what's the deal with you and this guy? Like, they're going to talk about you. But anyway, so she's dating someone else. So this will be interesting to see what happens. And we don't know with this guy, like, does he only get to date?
Right. What's going to happen with the rich boyfriend?
Does she get to date? And is this new guy that you're dating, is he very wealthy? Like, how is all this going to work? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they do the typical housewife thing that they do in Mormon Wives, which is everyone has to put questions in a box and they have to ask each other these questions.
This is a thing now.
Yes. And so this starts a whole thing between Alicia and Liz about whether or not Liz is having an affair. And Liz is pissed.
Well, there is a weird relationship that Liz has with this guy, Dino.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh no, he's like a little brother. She's never slept with him, but he's very special and he means a lot. Then she says, Jerry used to do this like sport fishing. And did she say that he was gone 3 weeks out of four or three weekends out of four?
I heard 3 weeks, but it could be three weekends. Even still.
Even whatever.
No hobby should take you away the majority of every weekend.
Right. Or the majority of the month.
The majority of the month. Like, I was like, wait a second. That's weird. So, personally, I think, I'm going to tell you what happened. He took up this thing. Maybe Jerry had a girlfriend. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But Jerry was gone all the time. She's got this younger guy who probably pays a lot of attention to her. And I'm sure the two of them, I'm sure that they flirt and I'm sure they have a good time together and maybe nothing's ever happened. Maybe they made out once or whatever. But I don't, you know.
I don't know. I think it might be more than that.
You think?
Because she got very defensive and had her story ready to go. Hmm. And he is very cute. And younger. So I think there's something there.
She was pissed. I would be pissed too if it was like, wait, you're gone another weekend. You know, I mean, I could see maybe. And I wonder if this is a little bit of like, in these marriages, do you guys just not talk to each other, or like the way in which you get even is to sleep with someone else? It seems like sleeping with someone else seems to be the thing that's like, yeah, I'm going to go this person over here. And then, now we're even.
Exactly. And I think that they would rather stay married and just cheat on each other.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of, well, that was last year.
Yes. That's old news.
Several times. Yeah. That was a year ago. Yeah. And it seems, and they, because they talk about it so openly and everybody knows. So It's like, okay, this, look, boys will be boys. They're going to do their thing, but I'm not going to get divorced over this. You know, yeah. As long as you get rid of the girlfriend or the mistress, you know, once you get caught, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is an arrangement for a lot of people. It's just people just don't, I've said this many times, people just don't like that it's put out there. I don't think they care. I think they just don't like the fact that the world knows.
Yeah.
And that feels shameful. Yeah. So, hey, you know what? Real Housewives of Rhode Island, be the first sex positive. Do you know what I mean? Just, you know, let your freak flag fly. Be swingers. Be, you know, do your thing. We want it like with pride.
Yeah. Do your polygamy, polyamory, whatever. Like, who? I don't care.
You're all consenting adults. Consenting adults. Who are we to judge? Yeah.
Yeah.
So be proud of yourselves.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, sounds much, it's interesting. It's a much more interesting life than, you know, being married. I mean, it's far more fascinating.
And, you know, it's nice that at least I appreciate the honesty of this show. Mm-hmm. That is one thing, because for so long, Housewives have just been so like, no, like prim and proper. And we don't. Do you remember how Luann used to have such a stick up her ass? And then at some point she just didn't care anymore. And she just.
It was after she got divorced.
Yeah.
I think the count kind of left her and she was like, I bet you anything, the count told her you need to maintain a certain thing. And then the minute they divorced, she was like, I'm going to be me.
Right.
You know,
right.
And me is I bang cooks on a cruise. What? But
remember the pirate.
But the pirate. But remember from that other show they did the most recent one. We covered it. Where she slept with the cook, the chef.
Yes.
Remember the last night?
Yes. She was like, "This is our last night. I'm getting laid on this trip."
Yes.
Yeah. No. And Sonia and those people. It's like, yeah, just. Look, God. I have more respect for that.
Yes.
Than Luann was being so prim and proper. And she's like, this is the Cancer Society. Stop fighting. The Cancer Society. The
Cancer Society. We don't do this here at the Cancer Society.
Yes.
Ay, ay, ay. All right. Well, so we are planning on covering this show. These episodes will be dropped on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. Like this one is. I forgot to make this announcement at the beginning of the episode, which I meant to do, which is, before I forget, I will be on Murder, She Watched Wednesday the 8th. So we covered the life and death of Mariah Wilson, which is it was a really beautiful documentary on Netflix. So please go check that out.
Yes.
I meant to say that at the beginning. God damn it. We're so terrible.
Well, don't say we. I wasn't on the show.
I know.
I'm the one who's promoting it.
I know. And I have a note. I wrote myself a note and I've been staring at the note the whole hour. And I still forgot. Sorry.
Well, maybe you can cut something in. I don't know.
Yes. Yes. All right. So yes, we will be covering this and we shall see what happens. It'll be very interesting to see where we go with all of this, these women of Rhode Island. So if anyone out there is from Rhode Island and would like to
let us in,
we do appreciate those of you. We've had quite a few people from Ohio, people from other places as we've talked about these states and such. So please educate us because, I mean, I've been to Rhode Island a few times, but that's it. I've been to Providence once, so. It is a beautiful place, I have to say.
Yeah, it looks
really
gorgeous.
Great Italian food. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you so much for being a part of and listening and subscribing. So there's lots of ways to support us. If you want more content from us, go check out our Patreon where we do hot topics and lots of other things. You know, we talk a little bit more about our private lives and other things on there. So please go check us out on Patreon. You can follow us on Psych Legal Pop on social media to keep up with everything. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review. There's lots of different ways to support us. Any support is always appreciated. Thank you so much, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.